This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
HPC Linux Financial Markets, Cloud Expo, and BioIT World.
And I'll give my takeaways from all three conferences.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for April 23rd, 2010, available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Good morning, Addison.
Hey, Michael, how's it going?
Pretty good. Busy week.
It was a busy week, and you know, as you said your date on the call in there, it reminded me that this is our one-year anniversary of doing these Soundbite podcasts, so happy anniversary there, partner.
Hey, happy anniversary. It seems like just weeks ago that we started, but yeah, you're right. It's been a year, so wow.
If anyone out there has heard every episode, I'm sorry, but please let us know.
Yes. Well, you had a big week of conference hopping on the East Coast there.
I did. New York and Boston, but it was a good time.
Yeah. So the first one, I guess, on Monday, that was the Linux on Wall Street, which they're calling the HPC Linux Financial Markets. Mm-hmm. But by any other name, it's Linux on Wall Street. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what was going on there?
You know, the big emphasis was all on high-frequency trading applications and the importance of lower latency. There was a lot of content from the interconnect vendors. Most of the emphasis on Ethernet, although people like Mellanox are in there slugging away with InfiniBand and their solutions. But definitely the emphasis of all of the content was on high-frequency trading, which was actually a bit of a disappointment to me to have so much of the content be there, because I get that it's an arms race where they're all trying to outrace each other. But to me, out of all the applications that you see going on in HPC and financial markets, that's actually almost the least interesting one to talk about. I'd rather talk about, some advancements in analytics or economy simulations, what's going on in capital markets, even getting into some of the things in insurance. But definitely interesting overall, and good to see people there.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised about, all this emphasis on high-frequency trading. It seems like around these Wall Street shows, it's almost all you hear about. I know why. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar application, basically. And yes, it doesn't have the sexiness of these compute-intensive things that we talk about sometimes, but it's all about, who's got the fastest interconnect in the West, and that's what it's all about. But it does have some interest. I mean, it's basically the race to zero latency. So everybody's sort of stepping all over themselves, trying to figure out how to slice the next microsecond or nanoseconds off of these things. And there was a lot of product announcements around that. I covered the Arista switch, which actually is that was their big not core switch, but their spine switch, which actually isn't really related to high frequency trading per se, but certainly some of their other switches are, and they've made a big, they've made a big deal about that. In fact, I think they said something like 30% of Arista's revenue is coming from high frequency trading. I think I talked to guys like Voltaire, and there's a big chunk of their stuff in that area too, and some of these others. Blade and Voltaire actually got together with an announcement, yep. And again, the emphasis was on this, and even the announcement from the IBTA, the InfiniBand Trade Association, about RDMA over converged Ethernet, wasn't specifically about high frequency trading, but again, they're talking about the low latency Ethernet, and there's one of the great applications for it. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Well, yeah, and don't get me wrong, I understand the level of interest, and I understand why it's such an important application. I just questioned how long we can talk about it, right? You go into yet another panel where the topic is latency, we're against it, right?
Yeah.
And beyond that, there wasn't a lot to say. I even attended one of the panels that had both Arista with Andy Bechtolsheim and Blade Network Technologies with their CEO Vikram Mehta on it. And, you know, they each talked about their products. I thought the most interesting point that came out of it went by really fast, which was Vikram Mehta saying, you know, that everyone's talking about these switch latencies and ignoring the fact that a lot of the latency comes from programming challenges. And, you know, we ought to be talking about how you're going to program this stuff for low latency. And I thought that was a great point. That would have been a panel I would have gone to, how to program low latency algorithms.
Right. I think, yeah, what he was saying there was, I think, something that's been reflected in what other people are saying, that eventually everybody's going to have the same hardware, and then it's going to come down to the software. And then that's sort of the creative part. I mean, you've got to take the latency out of the software, because that's going to be sort of the least common denominator. So, yeah, that would have been an interesting thing to expand upon. And I think he's dead on right. I mean, you can only, you know, the hardware will all take you down to the same place, and eventually everybody will figure out what that best hardware solution is. And then it comes down to, you know, creative programming.
Yep, absolutely. So it was a great point by Blade Network Technologies there.
Yeah. So I think you hop right from there to what, the Cloud Expo, which was also
just – a couple minutes away in the Javits Center.
Yep, in New York City. So what was your impression there?
Cloud Expo, I will be honest, it was my least favorite of the three conferences I went to this week, because I found that it was dominated by indifferent middleware providers who had different parts of hypothetical cloud solutions, security in the cloud, or, you know, we'll do this in the cloud, that in the cloud. And my problem with it was that most of them who I talked to would say, well, we've got it, we'll take your application and then we'll put it in, we'll do this with it, or, you know, we treat an application this way. But almost invariably, application was a term they kind of had a circle around, and it was a hypothetical application. And to me, application is too important a word to do that with. And so, you know, I wonder, well, you know, which application? Well, it doesn't matter. Okay, well, pick one. So then they'd pick one, and then I'd start asking, questions about the data and the workflow, and they'd say, well, maybe that was a bad example. Well, what would be a good example, right? And to me, you know, I really want to know what the application is that we're talking about. Anytime we're talking about cloud, it's you can't do that hypothetically. The data, the workflow are too important.
Right. I guess, you know, that's not too surprising to hear that. I mean, the Cloud Expo, it's going to be about, you know, the true believers of cloud technology. So that's what they're selling there, the cloud technology. I mean, it's a young technology. So, you know, you wanted to come and see the end users there and talking about what they're doing with it. But,
Yeah, there weren't really very many end users at the Cloud Expo. These were a lot of vendors walking around and talking to each other. Although, a couple of points on some of the vendors. First of all, Univa UD, I think, was the exception in actually presenting good content. Their CTO, Rich Wellner, gave an excellent talk about how their background in HPC really helped them build cloud infrastructures, with specific examples of specific workflows of how the data would move through it. Oracle was kind of in the opposite direction. They were a major sponsor, and I couldn't tell you whether that was originally a Sun contract or an Oracle contract, but they had the front and center booth. I walked through it. I found, you know, one or two technologies I maybe wanted more interest in, and a guy looked down at my badge and said they weren't allowed to talk to press or analysts. So I couldn't get any of my questions answered there. I don't know who he was allowed to talk to, because there weren't any customers there. Presumably he could only talk to his competitors. They referred me, by the way, Michael, to their excellent press and analyst relations team, who they said would call us real soon now. Have they called you yet?
No, they're circling back around.
Yeah. So my response was that their comment about the excellent press and analyst relations team was obviously false. They have no press or analyst relations team, as far as I can tell. So I'm still waiting on that. And then the notable absence from Cloud Expo was platform computing. They weren't there. Now, maybe that's a wise choice on their part. You know, not finding any end users there, it wouldn't have been worth their time. But yeah. Unova UD, it's a primary competitor, had a great show, which reminds me about the other notable omission, which is I went to the Linux conference the day before, and Novell wasn't there. Red Hat had an excellent show. But no Novell. And even Microsoft was at the HPC Linux conference.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask you at the Cloud Expo if you saw any of the other players that are, you know, like platform that are moving from grid and cluster tools to the cloud, because there's a bunch now. I mean, all the cluster guys are there, but you basically saw Unova only, huh?
Well, for my money, there was actually much better information about cloud practical applications of cloud computing at the next conference I went to at BioIT World than there was at Cloud Expo. And there were a number of cloud providers at BioIT World, but the difference there was that now when they were talking about an application or a workflow, they had discrete applications, workflows, data sets in mind, specific ones that they could talk about with respect to their application. And that made the cloud content at BioIT World much more valuable. Yeah, that was my favorite show of the week.
Huh. Okay. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what went on there? And that's not surprising to me that would be the case. I think these technology conferences can be a little, you know, vague and ambiguous. But when you get down to the meat of something, you have end users interested, that's a different game.
Yeah, well, the great thing with BioIT World was that I was impressed with the extent to which they had hardware vendors, software vendors, data management, solution vendors, and end users all in one, and you know, really heavy hitting end users all in one place. And, you know, it wasn't like huge from a geography perspective. It was kind of one big room full of small booths, but every one I went to was someone I really wanted to talk to. Mm-hmm. The amount of HPC content for me was really high. I mean, some of the applications transcended HPC out into other areas, but they were all interesting. I wanted to talk to all the vendors. And then at the same time, they had content tracks going on hardware and software and different application areas. And those were all, you know, full of good content also. So it was an impressive networking show for me, and also I got to learn a lot.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised you saw sort of more of a cloud presence there for typical HPC than at the Cloud Expo, because, you know, when I hear about it or read about cloud and HPC, it seems like the bio guys are sort of at the forefront of this. They're the ones jumping in first. Even the big pharma firms, they're starting to play around with it. You know, even in Amazon and other infrastructure arrangements, it seems like they're sort of the leading edge of this, whereas in HPC, they were maybe sort of the trailing edge. But now these guys seem to be jumping into it kind of with both feet.
Well, the pharma guys are certainly interested. I think for pharmaceuticals, they'll need to do some work in terms of service level agreements. But in terms of some of the research areas, bioengineering, even complete workflows like I'm seeing, you know, gene sequencing as a service, people doing total shop. There was a lot of that were cloud and other utility computing kinds of models. And I agree, there's a lot of adoption of it there, but I found it to be an appropriate amount. It wasn't all cloud computing. It was just in with regards to specific workflows where people had found solutions or thought it made sense. It was relegated to the right level of importance for this show.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear, and it's not surprising. I'm glad you got a chance to go to all three shows and kind of report on it. And hopefully in the months ahead, the weeks ahead, there'll be some pretty interesting shows coming up, and hopefully we'll connect there, because I'm hoping to go to some of these.
You got to stay in your chair and write, Michael.
Yeah,
not at all.
Yeah, I got to take the editorial on the road occasionally just to meet and greet the real folks. So it's going to happen.
That'll be great. Well, I'll look forward to it.
All right, thanks, Addison, and good to talk to you. Happy anniversary again.
Happy anniversary for the show. It's been a year. I look forward to the next year.
The next year, yep. All right, talk to you next week.
Thanks, Michael.
So long.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite at hpcwire.com. HPCWire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPCWire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.